Thank you. It's a joy to be here with you today. It really, really is. One of the best parts of this job is getting to travel around Sunday by Sunday and meet all of you and worship with you and share the sacraments of the table and of sacrament of the word, and on special occasions the sacrament of confirmation, and today the sacrament of burning the mortgage. So it's a delight. I think that if the season of Advent had a seventh inning stretch, that it would be today. Today's Gaudete Sunday, or the third Sunday in Advent, in which we take a breath and we loosen up and we lighten up a little bit and we focus on the joy of the Advent season. Now, seventh inning stretches are not escapes, per se. Baseball, our national sport, in which we usually experience a seventh inning stretch, is a joy to witness. Baseball is a joy to witness in all of its innings. But truth be told, a lot of a good thing is still a lot of a good thing. And so by the seventh inning of baseball, it feels good to stand up, take a break, grab a hot dog, and do some deep knee bends. It may be the same for us in the church, especially as we experience Christmas creep, or the overlapping of the season of Advent and the season of Christmas. There's a growing battle between those whom I would call Advent purists, those who wait nearly the 4 full weeks of Advent before decking the halls, and those whom I would call equal opportunity holiday enthusiasts, who can barely wait for the turkey carcass to go into the stock pot before the lights are up, the furniture is moved around for the tree, and the soundtrack of Charlie Brown, Handel's Messiah, Bing Crosby, and King's College begins filling our rooms. This year, there's a funny game going around on social media in which you have to fess up if you finally hear over the airwaves or in a grocery store or in the mall any rendition of the Little Drummer Boy. If you hear it and you're aware of it, you must own up to it on social media and claim that you have been drummed out. So the other day I got in my car after I'd been in the grocery store, and I found myself humming one of my least favorite Christmas songs, which is the 12 Days of Christmas. But I laughed because I was relieved that it wasn't the Little Drummer Boy. And so how is your Advent going? Is it full of anticipation and contemplation on the coming of Christ? Or is it a complicated dance that alternates between devotion and decorating, self-examination and eggnog, reflection and revelry? Do you need a break? Today is Gaudete Sunday. The name Gaudete, it's taken from the words of the introit, Gaudete in Domino Semper, rejoice in the Lord always. We often sing that during the Advent season. The scriptural basis for this Sunday comes from Philippians 4 that says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. In centuries past, the sound of the church organs and decoration with flowers was forbidden during the Advent season, but they were permitted a brief return on this, the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. Because of the more joyful tone of Gaudete Sunday, the use of rose-colored pink vestments became a sometime tradition, and also on this day, we light the rose-colored Advent candle. These days, our Advent seasons are less penitential, and the focus is instead on preparation, paying attention, slowing down, and waiting for God. I remember one year, not too long ago, I latched onto the idea of slowing down. And I took on a spiritual practice in my kitchen of serving and consuming only food that had been processed and made by me. No frozen pizzas, rotisserie chickens, or sliced packaged bread. So you can imagine, I spent Advent kneading dough, watching it rise slowly on the countertop. And I even made my own yogurt in mason jars that I swaddled in hot water bottles and towels, put them in a big giant canvas bag, and let the temperature and the warmth coax that milk into becoming yogurt overnight. Honestly. That Advent was busier than ever. Busier than ever as I ran around trying to both go to work and to play Ma in my own little version of Little House on the Prairie. Some congregations spend the 4 weeks of Advent focusing on a different word or a theological virtue each Sunday: faith, hope, charity. And on this Sunday, the added notion of one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. So let's think for a few minutes about joy, because there's much more to it than just pretty pink candles. Some might say that joy is a cousin of happiness. And while I think that's true, I believe that joy is significantly different than happiness. It's deeper. It's in the same spectrum as happiness, but in a more profound way. Psychologists distinguish between happiness and joy. Happiness is thought to be an external emotion that has events and people and places as its genesis. Happiness is caused by earthly experiences and material objects. Joy, on the other hand, is an internal spiritual state that is the result of selfless behavior, caring for others, sacrificial giving, extending beyond one's reach to another. In our tradition, joy is a mature Christian emotion. The Scottish Baptist and evangelical preacher Oswald Chambers, who wrote the Christian classic My Utmost for His Highest, he wrote that in 1927. He said that the joy of Jesus was Jesus' absolute self-surrender and his self-sacrifice to God, the joy of doing that which the Father had sent him to do. Chambers says that Jesus prays that our joy might grow until it becomes the same joy as Jesus' selfless and selfless act and is directed to the glory of God. It puts a little bit of a different spin on it. The call of the Christian is to emulate our Savior by performing our own acts of self-sacrifice. And the byproduct is joy. In our neighborhood, we live in Mechanicsburg, there's a guy who has a long driveway. It's about a third of a mile long. At Thanksgiving, this neighbor of ours spends his entire weekend setting up an ambitious Christmas light display that includes more than 25 trees, inflatable snow globes with life-size figures in them, more than one creche, timed lights that make the trees look like they have cascading waterfalls coming down them, mannequin carolers with automated articulating limbs, and strategically placed colored floodlights that makes the whole forest light up in shades of green and red and gold. It's fantastic. A sign at the end of the driveway invites visitors to come in and drive through. It is a Christmas wonderland, and it is a happy, happy place. In the front yard of the small ranch house next door to this Christmas fantasia, there's a big gray rock. Well, it gets a little better than that. Propped up against the rock are three 12-inch letters that light up with simple white light bulbs. And the letters are J-O-Y. I love that contrast. Theologically, it makes sense to me that the big, splashy Fantasia is happy, and the humble offering next door is really deeply joyful. That simple display of J-O-Y moves me more than a billion blinking colored lights. And so how is it with your soul this Advent? Have you found a path to deep joy through simplicity, service, and sacrifice? Or are you still looking for the entry point? There are some who, once they find the path to joy, once they enter in the slipstream of holy living, are able to access this enlightened way of living closer to God all the time. You know those people. There are spiritual giants. Think of Desmond Tutu, Mother Teresa, Harriet Tubman, guided by devotion and selflessness and deep joy. And I'm sure you have your own list. And then there are others, the rest of us, who are like C.S. Lewis, more likely to describe the occasional visitation of the Holy Spirit and holy leading as, he calls it, stabs of joy. I find that calling on generous pockets of silence for reflection, listening for God, participating in services of worship, coming to be nurtured in word and sacrament, these practices can turn those occasional stabs of joy into more regular, warm, and holy being in God. Today we celebrate with joy two different transitions for the community of St. Edward's. We will celebrate the rite of confirmation and reception into the church as 11 souls will refresh their baptismal vows and claim responsibility and accountability for their lives in Christ. We'll all join, too, in renewing our baptismal vows, an occasion for joy. And also today we celebrate publicly and with your bishop present, the closing and symbolic burning of your mortgage and the excitement that this financial milestone means for you as a community serving God's mission. The generosity of many of you sitting here today, donating from your treasure to the glory of God and the witness of the gospel in this place is an occasion for joy. You've been faithful here at St. Edward's, and this moment is not an ending, not an ending at all. It's the threshold of the next thing that God will do with you. I'm delighted for you. I see these acts, the reaffirmation and confirmation of vows, the claiming of faithful responsibility for your temporal and spiritual lives, as exciting and deeply joyful. So may you be steeped in joy this day. Be joyful in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.